Hi, I'm Monty Sharp, and I'd like to welcome you to the Gatekeepers Initiative. What in the world is a gatekeeper, you may ask? I'm so glad you ask. The world's gatekeepers proclaim that they're protecting their community, but in reality, they're elevating themselves by denying others entrance to their community by belittling and devaluing them. God's gatekeepers protect their communities through loving devotion to those around them. They're there to encourage that which is good and reject that which brings harm. So let's take a deeper dive today in how God is calling you to be a gatekeeper. Well, it's my pleasure this morning to be able to share the microphone in the studio with a young man that I've known for a whole long time. His name is Ryan George. Happens to be married to a beautiful young lady by the name of Libby. And Ryan actually was involved with us when he was in high school and ended up going into a teaching position. Was that high school you were teaching?
Adult high school, yeah.
Yeah. And then finally we managed to talk him into coming to his rightful position. And that is coming on staff with us with Student Venture. So, Ryan, I'm glad to have you here and just want to be able to kind of help unfold your life for the people that are listening in. Give them a little feel for what Student Venture is all about, what being a gatekeeper in this ministry is all about. So, you okay with that?
Sounds good to me.
Cool. Is there anything you'd like to say to start this off?
Gosh, no. I've enjoyed being part of things since 1999.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Turn of the millennium means a lot more now than it did when it turned, you know?
That's pretty awesome. So how did you get involved with this in when you were in high school?
Well, it actually all starts with my mom. My mother was a kindergarten teacher, and her partner teacher, right? They have the AM and the PM with kindergarten. And her partner teacher, who I don't even remember which one she was, but Kim Snow was the wife of a guy named Dave Snow, who was doing Student Venture at Temescal Canyon High School. And so when I walked on campus, he was already looking for me and looking to plug me in.
That's awesome. So how did your relationship with Dave get connected? How did it grow through the years?
Well, that first year, it was a little bit slow. I was just busy and I kept forgetting Student Venture because it was once a week and you get into your daily rhythm, and once a week doesn't always compute. You forget what day of the week it is and what's going on. But I had a friend who got really involved, and he got involved in this Zion play. And they needed people. And so he recruited me and pulled me along, and spending time with those folks who were in the leadership of the club, the students who were in the leadership of the club with me, who loved Jesus and who were pursuing him and who were encouraging each other towards him, was, even for that short time, so healthy and helpful and beneficial to me spiritually and to my walk with Jesus that I decided I was just going to be as involved as I possibly could be.
That's pretty cool. Well, you had the opportunity to work with kids now, and yeah, you're overseeing an entire city of our ministries, as a matter of fact, plus being on campus on a regular basis. If you were to encourage maybe some of the moms and dads that are out there, or maybe a student that's listening right now, on how to be able to help a student have the confidence to come and get involved with a Christian club on campus with all their peers, what would you say to them?
Well, the first thing I would say is, if you have your insecurities and doubts, and if you're not sure, if you believe the things that you think you ought to believe, that's a wonderful position to come from. Student Venture, I think, is very much for the curious and those who have questions. I think that that will be met with humility and respect, and that people will help you find the answers you're looking for. And the second thing I would say is, it is literally these people's job to love you and care for you. And that's and so if they're not accepting you well, then that's on them. You know, you belong there. Jesus has welcomed you there. You are supposed to be part of a community of believers, and they are supposed to welcome you. And whether they accept you or not is on them. And so, yeah, come along. And if somebody's not quite living up to the standards, maybe we need you to help challenge them in that and help them do that well.
You know, I know where your heart is. I can't imagine ever being involved in a club that you're running that that people are not accepted and loved and encouraged and lavished with that.
Thank you.
Well, that's where Jesus wants us to be. And that's kind of the theme and the passion that we have as a staff to continue to talk about the importance of loving supernaturally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. That's a really good thing. That's good for people to know that. Does it help if a parent would call you maybe as an example, or a student would call you and say, look, I don't want to get dumped into this group of people that I don't know
mm-hmm.
without maybe getting connected in some way. If they did that, would you be willing, or is our staff willing to be able to take them out for a cup of coffee or lunch or breakfast or something like that and get to know them a little bit better?
Of course.
Okay.
Of course. We would always want to do that.
That's awesome. It's fun to learn people's stories, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's fun. I mean, in some way, we depend on their needs, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, that we would be able to be there and support them and love them because that is our job. And so when they give us the opportunity to do so, that's, you know, a little bit of happy dance in our hearts there for that.
You keep using the word job, but what's really funny is I don't think that reflects your heart.
Well, Jesus has loved me well, and he's called me to love others well. And
so that's your calling.
That's calling over job, maybe.
Yeah, although you get the privilege of also being in your job also.
That's true. But I think there's also a level of responsibility to it. Like, we as Christians, student venture or not student venture, we have a responsibility and a commissioning to do this,
yeah.
That we need to love the people around us. And that doesn't depend on them. That depends on us. And sometimes those people... Sometimes it's more work than other times. Some people easy to love, and some people it's more of a challenge. But those people who it's more of a challenge, that's... Gosh, when I say that there was a group of people who I spent that first little bit with, they weren't all the easy to love people. They were just all the people who wanted to grow with Christ and who were encouraging me in that way. But I remember a guy who I'm still in touch with to this day who a lot of people had conversations about how he was difficult to love, and maybe more than they should have, but he has been such a blessing to me because he's taught me how to do that well in so many ways. He's been my practice, and it's always surprising when you love somebody well who people think of as difficult, how you're often shocked and taken by surprise by what a blessing it is to love them and to be loved by them.
It's funny how the Lord does that. You know, we're looking at people and saying, well, God's called me to be able to love this person, and I need to be there to help them grow in this and develop in that.
Yeah.
But they become our own curriculum.
Yeah.
On how to love in a deeper fashion, especially those that are challenging like that. So we're always in school together.
That's
so
right.
To speak.
That's right.
So speaking of challenges, gosh, you've been on staff doing this ministry for how long now?
Oh, I think about 7 years.
Yeah, I think 7 or 8.
Seven years and 2 months, maybe.
Yeah, working on the 8th year. What was your most difficult or challenging time or thing that you had to overcome through those years?
I think in the very beginning, maybe just because it was the very beginning, I was walking in to campus and looking at the club we had going so far. And it was split between two lunches, and we had about an average of 7 students total between the two lunches.
And it's hard.
It is. And a majority of them, and by average, I mean half the time, right? It was less than 7. And most of them were first lunch, and most of them were pretty severely special ed. And it was difficult to tell if anything you were teaching them was getting through to them. I remember one guy in particular, he would put his headphones on and just kind of rock because he couldn't handle all the sensory input sometimes. And there was definitely a moment of saying, well, what is God even doing here right now? Why does he have me here? And so it was just a matter of taking him at his word that he wanted me there and that I belonged there and that he was doing something through me.
That's awesome. So how'd that work out for you?
Thomas, the one who would put his earphones on, mm-hmm. he is... I just met with him yesterday.
Ah.
He graduated... Well, let's see, 7 years. He graduated about 4 years ago. But he just felt God calling him more to a more social life. And as he stepped out into that, he became one of our student leaders.
Wow.
He started making jokes halfway through that next year. They took us all off guard, right? So we all laughed hard at every joke the guy made. And he would apologize at the end because he wasn't sure he did it right in a non-offensive way, right? Because he wasn't used to that. But that worked wonderfully. And then by the time he graduated, he shared his testimony at club of how God had walked him through all that and how God met him right where he was. And then the other lunch that sometimes had nobody coming to it, this girl named Maria showed up who had just been through a lot of very difficult stuff. She was a new transfer into the school. And the mother of three young boys as a senior.
Oh my goodness.
And so she was in foster care. She had been through the ringer. And she didn't know how to live in a healthy family relationship with her foster family and with her foster sister. And she didn't know what to do with kind of the trauma that she'd been through with her mom. And we were able to walk her through all that, what it looked like to forgive her mom and still have a healthy, I want to say boundary, but that gets overused. But yeah, a healthy boundary between the two of them where she didn't allow her mom to continue to hurt her.
Yeah.
And
loving without putting herself back in harm's way.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so that was beautiful. And then her trauma, she was able to process through it and it became her story. It became her testimony. And she was able to share that at club and at her church.
Yeah.
And she blasted that thing all over social media when she graduated, and it became her hobby after she graduated to share that as often as she possibly could.
Wow.
So it was a very beautiful thing. So God was very much at work. I definitely couldn't see it from where I was at.
Huh. That's the way he works, huh?
Yeah.
That's where the importance of faithfulness comes in. That's one of the things I love about you is that you have always been incredibly faithful.
Thank you.
At great cost. You know, sometimes look around and if the numbers are small or difficult to you, just fully best yourself in what Jesus has called you to do in front of you. And God does pretty amazing things in the process of that.
Yeah. Something you've always taught in concept, but that I heard someone say so succinctly once was pay attention to the root over the fruit. That if you pay attention to growing in Christ, if you pay attention to living in His Spirit, and walking with Him, and you let Him worry about the results of that, then amazing things happen, and you don't burn out.
Which is important.
Yeah.
I think the other reason that you don't burn out is when you are doing what you do out of a love that Jesus has given you for the people that you're working with,
yeah.
Then your passion stays strong, you know, and fervent in that. And that's what discipleship's all about, is loving people into that sweet, intimate relationship with Jesus. And when that happens, you don't find burning out something that is very often talked about or thought about in your life.
No.
And I've watched you be faithful in that.
It has been a gift. But if I get too focused on what I produce in a different person's life, in another person's life, then I can burn out or I can start to feel it climbing up on me, you know,
yeah.
Because I can't control them and I can't love them well while I'm trying to control them, but I can draw close to Jesus and He can pour out His love in my heart and I can love them from there.
That's awesome.
And He can handle what change comes in their life.
You know, that's one of the things that the Lord has called us as a ministry to focus on, and you know, really well, is many years through the years we've wrestled with this and staff and national youth ministries and organizations. And the question always was, why do students leave Jesus when they graduate from high school and go into college?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when the Lord finally revealed that to us and helped us understand that we have, as the church, made the highest priority for people to conform. Then, you know, that's where you get your accolade. That's where you get your applause. People, you know, appreciate you and think highly of you if you're conforming to their mores and their values as the church. But Jesus doesn't ask us to be about conforming. He asks us to be about transformation. Been transformed by the renewing of our minds. So it talks about in Romans 12. And I love that about you, is that you're not interested in people just simply learning to follow your mores and your beliefs, but rather to be transformed by that personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. And that's what sets them free, that when they hit those college years, they're not looking and going, well, I feel left out, I feel lonely, and I need to be connected. Oh, that's what I'm supposed to be conforming to the mores of the people I'm with. So they dump Christianity and tie into that whole new college form, and I leave Jesus behind. But when they're transformed by that relationship with Christ, then they are strong in that relationship in the midst of whatever's going on around them. And you're good at that.
Thank you. Yeah, that touches me, because it's so easy to want people to act a certain way.
Yeah,
it's so easy. And it's, I think, for everyone a constant temptation that, you know, oh, I don't want you to do this because I think it'll ruin your life. I don't want you to do this because this is rude and unkind to others. I don't want you to do this because it represents us poorly. But if we can't, and I think it goes back to what you were saying, if that's how I get all my accolades and all of my love and affection and belonging, then I'm going to learn to conform. But if I give you your accolades and your love and exception and accepting and belonging just from the start, because you are a human being made in the image of God that Jesus died for and who he loves deeply, then we get into a lot less like behavior modification and people trying to control each other.
Yeah. Good stuff.
And I don't have time to teach everybody how to behave exactly how I think they should. You know, they'll graduate soon. And so I have time to teach somebody how to go to Jesus. And hopefully they can, if they're going to him for who they want to be, then they can learn from him and he can tell them the way to be. And maybe that'll take a nuance for them that I would never be able to teach them.
Yeah.
And maybe for them, that's... For a while, I attended an Anglican church, of all things. You know, I'm typically a pretty run-of-the-mill Protestant type of church guy, you know, non-denominational looking. But I attended an Anglican church, and full-on, the head guy had a collar and everything. But he was one of your former students,
yeah,
from Temecula Valley. So it's just a beautiful setup, you know. It's, if we point people to Jesus and teach them to give him control of their life, then our disciples won't look like ourselves, but they're going to look like Jesus,
right?
Which, yeah, is way better. Way better.
Well, there's probably some parents and some, maybe some students out there that are listening to this and going, okay, wow, I kind of identify with what you're saying. That's what I want. I want my life to change. I want to be different. You know, and Jesus sounds like a really great person that I want to be like, you know, especially since he's God. What do I need to do for that to happen?
Yeah. So there's that verse somewhere that Jesus said about how the fear of man, the fear of other people, brings a snare, that it's a trap when you're concerned about what people think of you.
Yeah.
And so I think the first thing is to like drill that into your head and to realize that that's a trap. Because if you are conforming to other people, if you are worried about what they think of you all the time, if that's what's driving you, you're not being transformed by him, you're being transformed by them. And even in a good environment, that can lead to some nasty places, like you already talked about. Because if you learn to conform to them here now, then you'll conform to somebody else later. The second thing I would say, you get to be like somebody by hanging out with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you always drove that home so well. The implications are obvious. You know, you spend time in prayer, talking to him. You invite him in your day and throughout your day. You invite him to let you know what he thinks about what you're doing and where you're going and how you're doing it. And you open his word to see what he has to say. I remember not being, you know, I had grown up in church, but there are large parts of the Bible you don't read in church. And I remember learning to open the Bible for myself in high school and feeling like I would just run into these things and not know what to make of them and not know how to apply them to my life. And people would teach me how to approach the scripture, and I would learn, and I'd say, yeah. And then I'd open the Bible and say, what do I do with that verse? But learning that you don't need to have all the answers and learning to bring those to him and to other folks who love him and who are following him is huge. And I already mentioned in the very beginning what a benefit it is. When you like somebody, you hang out with them, and that automatically means you hang out with people who like them too. Yeah. You know, when you become friends with somebody, you hang out with some of their friends. You go over to your house and you all have a hangout together, and, you know, you watch a movie or whatever it is, but that's what you do. So you spend time with him through his word, through prayer. There's this lovely little book. I think you can get it for free on the internet as a little PDF by Frank Laubach. And it's just about, it's called The Game with Minutes. And it's about, how do I invite God into every minute of my day? And he even poses it as a game, because he says, listen, you're not earning your salvation. You're not earning your righteousness. It's just a way to invite God into your whole life. And when he's there as a part of it, he changes you. Another great book is Celebration of Discipline by Richard Foster, which is a classic. And he just walks through all these different ways where we can empty ourselves of ourselves, our distractions, all the little idols that we don't realize we even have, and instead turn to him for our life and our joy and our peace. And how he transforms us through each of those. So you could talk about all that, but the classics are there. You know, you hang out with God's people. You love the people around you with him. Be about what God's doing with him. You pray. You read the scripture. You share truth with folks. And you watch as he shapes you through that. It's really on him more than anything, but you have to go to him to get it.
That's true. I love that. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks within himself, so is he.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the things we're thinking about are shaping and molding us into their image. 2 Peter 2:19, for by what a man is overcome, by this he's enslaved. The things that we allow to envelop us, overwhelm us, and can be a good way or a bad way, control us. And so when we invite Jesus to be that one, we spend that time with him through his word, prayer, hanging out with people that love Jesus more than we do.
Yeah.
All of those kinds of things start shaping us into camp. That's transformation.
Yeah.
And we get the privilege of doing that on a regular basis with kids.
Yeah.
And I love that because...
And the privilege of watching God do it in kids.
Yes. Because that's the key, is that to help them to be set free from self-effort. You know, that you've heard me say this 1,000 times, at least. The highest mountain we climb in life is getting over ourselves, you know? And yeah, Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, die to yourself. And so helping students understand that it's not by my might, not by my power, but the Spirit of God in me that is shaping me and molding me and guiding me, empowering me to be able to do the things that he's called me to.
You know, there came a part of my spiritual development, of my walk with Jesus, where I realized, oh yeah, it's not, you know, I do these things and therefore I grow. It's, I learn to trust him more, and the Spirit of God causes me to grow. And then I said, well, I'm not growing as much as I want to. How do I learn to trust him more? And I think you learn to trust people who you've gotten to know and who you've learned are trustworthy. And the good news is the one we're trying to know and get to know is trustworthy. So all we have to do is learn to know that and learn to believe it. And so, you know, to know him is to love him, and to know him is to trust him.
Yes.
And so you develop that deep intimacy with him, and the trust comes.
Sure does. I think I read in a good book that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah.
Romans 10:17. So that's cool. Well, anything that you'd like to add on to all of this? Thing you'd like to share with those out there that might help them?
Well, I think I would say that God makes huge changes in our life and in our character, and sometimes they just don't come quickly because they're him. and not us.
Yeah.
And we want to check off the boxes. But sometimes even being the people we want to be and looking like Jesus can become our idol instead of loving him and knowing him. And at least, I don't know how often that happens to other people, but it definitely happened to me. Of, I want to be who I should be, and therefore I'm going to go to God just to get that. Not because I love him, not because I want to know him, but because I'm going to somehow try to wrangle out of him what, honestly, he wants for my life. And so there's this time of learning to just bask in his love and to live in his love and to know that he accepts you where you are, not just where you're going. And once you understand that, and once you understand how deep his love is for you, despite your sins against him, then you start to fall in love with him. And you start to enjoy being with him, and you start to enjoy doing what he's doing with the people he's doing it with, and you start to love sharing love and truth with folks. And lo and behold, your character changes by surprise on accident sometimes.
That's awesome.
It is.
I think maybe as we wrap this up, if you're listening to this and you don't have somebody in your life that can help you through all of this process, really encourage you to find somebody. Ask Jesus to bring a disciple or a mentor that can come into your life and help you grow in that. Ryan and I and all the folks that we have on staff have had that in our lives, people that have invested in us, comforted us with the comfort they've been comforted with in Christ Jesus. And it makes such a difference. And so find somebody out there that can help you grow in that, so that you're not only having this blessing for your own personal life, but so that you can pass it on to those around you, whether it be your children, your spouse, your friends, your family, people you work with, or whatever, that you can be a gatekeeper that helps people know and grow in Jesus. Thanks so much for joining us. Ryan, thanks a lot for sharing with us.
My pleasure.
God bless you all. So if you enjoyed today's episode, make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss another episode of Monty Sharp and the Gatekeepers Initiative. Don't forget, each of us has our gates of influence in our lives that can radically change the world around us. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm looking forward to being with you again next time. May the Lord richly and wonderfully bless you.